Our scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Listen now to the word from our Lord. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." And when Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son. And he named him Jesus. May the Lord bless your understanding the reading of his holy word. My friends, we're just a few days away from Christmas. Can you imagine how fast and how speedy our Advent season has traveled? And here we are with Matthew's a reading on Christ's birth. And notice how it's not the angels and shepherds and beautiful songs from the skies that greet us. The Gospel of Matthew, if you ever spent any time studying it, anybody study it? In this particular write-up, there's a 42-generation genealogical line leading up to Jesus, right? That's a lot of generations of people in the Bible who are related to Jesus. It goes from Abraham to David to the Babylonian exile and back again until we get to Joseph. Christ's earthly heritage is important, not just to Matthew's community, but to all of us who are Judeo-Christians. For it is important to remember that David, if you know your scripture, was God's chosen king. And from his house, the scripture teaches us in prophecy, from the root of Jesse, who was indeed a part of the history of Jesus, leads us into a Messiah. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people that when they get to a point maybe in their marriage and they really want to have a child and they can't do so, they pray over it, and many people choose to adopt. I read recently about a couple who is struggling through adopting a child from Uganda. They feel like their parents already in every real sense. They have a name for the baby. They've hugged him with all that they are. They've loved him and clothed him. And in their minds and hearts, they're there with the baby even now. But he's not officially theirs yet. Due to a mishap in governmental paperwork, there's been a setback, and they're waiting for a word of peace, and it hasn't gone to plan. It's a waiting game. And hope can be hard to find. When you think of Joseph's plan for his life, it's been said many times, if you want God to laugh, what do? Present your plans for your life to him, right? And then what does he do? He tells you what he really wants you to do and what will happen. Joseph had likely worked very hard all of his life. According to scripture, he was a faithful man of the Lord. He was betrothed to Mary, who was probably a very young, innocent Jewish girl. They most likely came out of the same root, you know, within their town, and they probably knew each other, and most likely their marriage was arranged, as it often was in those days. And Joseph was set for a typical, simple, maybe prosperous life for him and his wife to be, and a life perhaps full of many children to carry on the family business and to grow up worshiping the Lord that he loved. And then there's a surprise. He finds out that Mary is with child. According to the scripture, if Joseph had been unfaithful in a betrothal contract, he would have been stoned to death. But Joseph, the just man, when thinking of this innocent girl, thought to himself, well, if I dismiss our engagement quietly, she doesn't have to die, right? And then he goes to sleep, and an angel appears to him. I think it's safe to say that God took great care in choosing Joseph to be Jesus' father. If you've had any interaction with families who've adopted, you know that it can be tough. Attachment specialists in the adoption world will even tell you that it's important to sort of set yourselves away, to cloister yourselves together, away from the rest of the world, to bond together so that you know you are a family. Initially, I'm sure it was hard for Joseph to think about raising a child that really wasn't his biological son. But Joseph had faith. And when we read about their story, it's quite amazing to me that an angel would come and meet him in his sleep and tell him what to do, and he would wake up and do it. Speaking of adoption, there's a couple named Mike and Tiffany. And in 2001, they had a neat house with a white picket fence, and they were all excited because they, you know, had a quiet house, and they wanted to fill it with kids, and they couldn't have their own children, so they decided to adopt, and they called up, and they said, hey, we'd like to pursue adoption. And next Christmas, in 2002, they got a call. And the voice on the other end of the line said that now they could have their family. And they said to the lady on the phone, you mean a child just for us? You mean our own child? They said excitedly. well, not exactly one. The children don't really want to be separated, and we don't want to separate them, and there happens to be five of them. So they talked about it, and they laughed about it, and they soon became a very full house with seven people. Bethany, Elizabeth, Sunny, Marie, and Suzette, who had been waiting for a mom and dad, now had one. Now there were clothes to buy and meals to prepare and cheeks to kiss and boys to wrestle and rules to learn and games to be played and all kinds of challenges of parenting. Can you imagine adopting five children at once into your home? It might be an understatement, but I believe the Christmas of 2002 was radically different for Mike and Tiffany. I imagine it was radically different for Joseph, too. It's a great story for us, doesn't it say? That when we look at the lineage of Jesus Christ and they link him to Joseph, that it is through adoption that he gets his lineage. We don't really understand the mystery of how the Holy Spirit came in to be the father of Jesus. We don't always understand that. And that's part of the mystery of God, right? We have to accept it, like Joseph did too. And we don't hear much about Jesus' childhood. All we know is that one day he was an adult, and his parents did a great job raising him. There was a gentleman once who shared an apartment with a Navy chaplain at Christian University, Liberty is the name of the university, and the chaplain was assigned to a Marine battalion who had recently come back from Iraq. One of the many things the chaplain did was to pray with his men before they went out on patrol. His roommate asked him one time, "Did the ones you pray for always return safely?" "No," the chaplain replied. "In fact, many of the Marines who did not return were born-again Christians, and I had to make their funeral arrangements and contact their families." It's true that the fact that we are Christian does not necessarily shield us from tragedy. But we know that we are adopted children of God. He is our heavenly Father. He will meet us wherever our hopes and fears are found, and he will trust in us to live faithfully in response to the love that he has for us as his adopted children. I'm going to close with a story from Dr. James Dobson. I don't know if you know him, but he's a pretty great author, and he's a very strong Christian. And he wrote of an elderly woman named Stella Thornhope, who unfortunately had lost her spouse before this first Christmas. And now she was alone. Her husband had died just a few months prior from a slow-developing cancer, and several days before Christmas, she was almost snowed in by a brutal weather storm. She felt terribly alone, so much so that she decided she wasn't even going to decorate for Christmas. And late in the afternoon, the doorbell rang, and there was a delivery boy who had a box. He said, "Mrs. Thornhope?" And she nodded and said, "Yes, you know." And he's like, "Will you sign here?" She signed away, and she invited him to step inside and close the door to get away from the cold, and she signed the paper, and she said, "What's in the box?" And the young man laughed and opened the flap, and inside was a little puppy, a golden Labrador retriever. And the delivery boy picked up the squirming pup and explained, "This is for you, ma'am. He's 6 weeks old, completely housebroken," and the young puppy began to wiggle in happiness at being released from the box. "Who sent this?" asked Mrs. Thornhope. The young man set the animal down and handed her an envelope and said, "Read this. The dog was bought last July while its mother was still pregnant, and it was meant to be a Christmas gift to you." The young man then handed her a book called How to Take Care of Your Golden Lab. In desperation, she asked again, "Well, who sent me this puppy?" And as the young man turned to leave, he said, "Your husband did." She opened the letter, and sure enough, that handwriting that she knew so well was in the note. He had written it 3 weeks before he had passed away. He left it with the kennel owners to be delivered with the puppy at his last Christmas gift to her. The letter was full of love and encouragement and admonishments to be strong, and he vowed that he was waiting for the day when she would join him. He had sent her this young animal to keep her company until then, and she wiped away the tears, put the letter down, and feeling the little licks at her feet, picked up the golden furry ball and held it at her neck. Then she looked out the window at the lights that outlined the neighbor's house and heard the radio in the kitchen with the strains of Joy to the World playing. And suddenly Stella felt the most amazing sensation of peace washing over her. Her heart felt a joy and a wonder greater than grief and loneliness. "Little fella," she said to the dog, "it's just you and me. But you know what? There's a box in the basement that I bet you would like. It's got a Christmas tree in it and all kinds of decorations and lights that we're going to put up together." God has a way of sending a signal of light to remind us life is stronger than death. Light is more powerful than darkness. God is more powerful than Satan. And his love that envelopes us and adopts us in is life-changing. And I pray this Christmas that you meet Jesus and adopt him as your own for now and forevermore. Amen.